Looking back at your playing and managerial career at Bradford, you must have some really fond memories of everything you achieved there.
Most of the memories are fond memories anyway from when I was manager. You know, the playing career was pretty mediocre, if I'm being brutally honest. But I played with a lot of good players there. Learned an awful lot of managers, you know. And then I think it's 2 full years there were very eventful, yeah. You know, getting to the Premier League and staying in the Premier League. It was wonderful. It was wonderful times, and it was a great introduction to the management for me. You know, I had to learn an awful lot at a very young age.
I remember being in the Carlsberg stand back when it was, and when you actually took them up into the top division of English football. I mean, that was a fantastic achievement in itself, especially with it being a bit of a slow start to that season as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, no one ever gives a prayer. We spent a bit of money, you know, on Lee Mills and Gareth Wally and Isaiah Rankin and Ashley Westwood, but, you know, not ridiculous amounts of money. And there's some big teams in that league. And as you quite rightly said, I think after six or seven games, we had 2 or 3 points. And the moans and groans are out that, you know, I'd be losing my job. I think we lost 3-0 at Ipswich on a Tuesday night. And, you know, I could feel the nerves are out for me then. But we turned it around. And we, you know, just... And that's the thing, you know, these days, the managers don't get 2 minutes in the job. And luckily enough, I got a bit of a run at it. And we turned it into a successful story. But... yeah, there were some great memories from getting the, you know, promoted when we beat Wolves, the final us at Wolves, and obviously when we stayed up to beat Liverpool. But you know, the group of players I had in that first season were just fantastic players and fantastic men, and really all gelled as a team. Great memories, and you know, even to this day, you know, when we meet up on the odd occasion, we're all best of friends and talk about the old times.
And we saw the astonishing growth of Bradford while you were in charge, on and off the pitch. Is that something that surprised you at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously what happened after I left with the club all going to administration. I mean, the Premier League, you know, it was big then, but it's not in the same stratosphere as it is now. But it was still big. I think when we got promoted, the prize money was £8 million for the club. Whereas now with the new TV deal, you're talking hundreds of millions of pounds. So... It's come on, but yeah, I mean, it was obviously we had a very enigmatic chairman there who did light the limelight and was a great marketing guy, whatever you say about him, for Bradford City at the time. And in a way, probably, you know, what happened, probably tried to run before they could walk, really, in a way. But yeah, it was a great time for me as a manager, and I had some wonderful players and wonderful memories.
And of course, one of those memories, I suppose, is celebrating on the pitch at Molineux.
Yeah, I mean, that is right up there with all the achievements that and the success I've had in football. That Wolves game, and I think that summed that season up fairly. You know, we went a goal down. Then we got to 3-1, we played some wonderful football under huge pressure. Then they, you know, I wouldn't say Biggs missed that penalty. It was a fantastic save by the goalkeeper. And they get back to 3-2, and then they hit the post with a minute to go. And I think there's a clip of Blakey and Biggs on the dugout as almost being unable to watch the last minute, and that summed it up for me. But it was a wonderful journey home. Now, unfortunately, it only lasted 2 hours. So I think we could have done with it lasting 10 hours, because it was a great bus journey home, and one that will stay with me forever.
And you just picked up on Robbie Blake there. I remember that Mills Blake partnership and the goals that they were scoring. Must have been fantastic to see them doing that.
Brilliant. Never mind Mills and Boone. Mills and Blake were just, you know, they were a great partnership. I mean, there's one game that sticks out for me that we played down at Swindon. I think Mills ended up getting sent off. When a goal down, and they both got 2 each, and we won 4-1. They were just unbelievable. But Blakey with his clever little feet, fantastic football brain, and Millsy with his ability to score with his head, his left foot, his right foot, from 25 yards, 6 yard box. Whenever we win a goal down, I never ever thought that was it. If we want to go down in that season, we always thought, and the belief was right through the club, that we could go and score goals. And Biggs on one side, I think he chipped in about 13 or 14 goals. And, you know, those three were the goal scorers, but the rest of the team knew that if we want to go down, one of them three would pull out the fire more often than not.
And as a Bradford man, Paul, I don't know how you feel. I for one, it was pretty heartbreaking after the sort of the demise of the club later on. Yeah. I know you were no longer involved, but how did you feel when you saw it all unravelling a little bit at Valley Parade?
Well, exactly the same as you. Heartbreaking, because I'm a Bradford City fan. I still live in the area. And, you know, it's one of the first results I look for. And, yeah, it was really sad. I mean, without going over all ground, I think Jeffrey wanted me to sign some of the players that have been mentioned that we end up signing. And I just didn't think they were the right fit for us. You know, we wanted players that, you know, had made a couple of mistakes here, you know, bringing in Rodriguez and one or two others that weren't really our type of players. We needed players that were going to come, they're going to fight, and they're going to scrap, and they're going to run and buy into, you know, what would have got us where we were. Not players that would come in and sneer at the facilities and the ground, etc. So I just thought that the signs were wrong. But, you know, we've all made mistakes. But it was heartbreaking to watch, you know, talking about the club that was a fantastic story 2 years previous or 18 months previous, and almost, you know, going out of existence. And I think a lot of people deserve an awful lot of credit for getting the club back. And it's taken a while, you know. I've been down there whenever I kind of go down there, but, you know, it's taken a bit of a while. And I think that run when they got to the final against Swansea and got promoted, that was a great season, beating Chelsea last year. They were all great things and great memories that have brought the club back into a bit more of the limelight that everyone wants. And hopefully, you know, they can surmount a promotion challenge this season.
And hopefully so, Paul. And I'll go back to Bradford in just a second, but I just want to talk about Wigan, because you were there and you managed to provide the magic once again. But you also had an affinity to the supporters there and playing there for a while. Is that something that always helps in management?
I tell you, the only thing that happens in management, mate, is winning games. It's great when people say, oh, you're a player in, you know, you're a fan, but fans or supporters soon forget if you lose a match. So, you know, I only have to look at Stuart McCall, who's arguably one of the best players that's ever played for Bradford City. Magnificent player, magnificent man. And yet, you know, it turned a little bit sour for him at Bradford. So it's okay playing for the team, but if you don't get results or things don't go your way, people have short memories, let me tell you.
In both of those jobs, Paul, you had last day survivals. I mean, how did that feel as a manager being on the touchlines and going through it quite a few times as well?
Yeah, I think in my career as a manager, I think I've gone through six last day. You know, when, you know, I'm always being loath to say, when people say it's a must-win game. Well, if you don't win that game, you look a fool when you've got to play next week. I think that I've been involved in, I'm not quite sure, five or six must-win games last game of the season, and the only one that hasn't gone my way was when West Ham equalised against us to knock us out the playoffs in the 94th minute. Everything else, we've beaten Wolves, we beat Liverpool, at Wigan we beat Reading and Sheffield United. So it's been it's not easy, and I mean, tell you it. And but, you know, it's that you just got to try and keep cool, and the experience just gives you a bit of a help, you know. And I think when you're building up to the week, when there's one game, that's not just the players. You're talking about people in the background, livelihoods, you know, the guys in the turnstiles, the people in the office, all those things, their jobs can rely on the result. Depends on the result on a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever it is. So it's huge pressure. And I think the players, you know, look around and look for a bit of guidance. Hopefully, in a week building up to all our games, I did my job well.
And looking at Bradford, Wigan, and we've seen other clubs do it as well, rising up from the Football League into the Premier League over time. We've seen a lot more money now in the Premier League. Do you think that that's an achievement that's still possible for Football League clubs?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it's very, very difficult. I mean, Blackpool did it not so long ago. I mean, Bournemouth have done it. But although Bournemouth have spent more money than people think, but it's not just having money, it's spent getting it wisely. And I think it's brilliant for football now that Leicester and Watford, Crystal Palace, they're giving the big boys a bit of a bloody nose. And football, you know, I listen to people in football, you know, managers, coaches, ex-managers, ex-coaches, pundits, supporters, talking about systems and this. And now all of a sudden, now 4-4-2 at the start of the season, you were a dinosaur if you played 4-4-2. Well, now all of a sudden, it's making a bit of a comeback because Leicester and Watford and teams like this are having a go at it. I think it's great to see, because I think football, certainly the Premier level, it's become a little bit staid, a little bit, you know, academy football. It's pass, pass, and no one goes anywhere. You know, you're talking about the same line of Bradford and Wigan. They had Mills and Blake up front, Baker on one, Jamie on the other side, balls going in the box, Ellington and Roberts and Teal at Wigan. And it was great to watch. And, you know, we live in a world where things come in cycles, and this 4-2-3-1 or whatever you want to call it, you've got 11 players against 11 players, and there's an awful lot of spin spoken football and coaches and manuals. It's a simple game, complicated by coaches, let me tell you.
and looking at the Championship as well, because you've managed a few clubs that have been in the Championship, and that seems a division that's changed vastly over the years now.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that Championship, and there's some teams that, I think probably three-quarters of the teams in there consider themselves Premier League football clubs. And that also adds to the pressure because, you know, supporters think their team should be in. I mean, of all the clubs I've managed, I've got not one bad word to say about it, any of them, because I've had, even the ones where I haven't had success at Derby, Ipswich and Sheffield, where the people have been great to me, the fans have always been great to me, and I've got no axe to grind. So, but that Championship is, you know, with the money of getting into the Premier League now, and it's not millions, it's talking billions, it's huge pressure on coaches and managers. And I was lucky enough to have a little, you know, have a start, and the chairman stuck with me for a bit. But these lads now don't get 2 minutes in the job. And, you know, even if you look at the top teams, Mourinho's lost his job. They're talking about Van Gaal losing his job. You've got to give the manager a fair run at it. You know, if you give a manager lots of money and he's there for 2 years and he doesn't do it, well, fair enough. But, you know, when you give a manager six games and virtually no money, or and then people are judging, these guys are thrown on a scrap heap and never seen again. You know, you have to be careful.
And looking at both your former clubs of Bradford and Wigan, both now in League One, just to start with Wigan, it does look like they're going to go for a promotion charge this season, but they seem to have stumbled a little bit of late, but I imagine that they could eventually get back into the Championship once again.
Yeah, I think that's about it. Again, you're sort of naive managers. I think the new chairman's been a bit naive, saying they were going to smash that division. Didn't want to just win it, they wanted to smash it. And when I seen it, I did grimace a little bit. I think Wigan will probably be right up there. They should do with the wage bill they've got. They should do with the players they've got. But, you know, I speak from experience, that's no guarantee, absolutely no guarantee. But I think they'll have a strong enough squad. They will be able to strengthen if they want to, because, I mean, parachute money, they'll have some of that coming down. So you would expect Wigan, I thought before the start of the season, would win the league. But it just shows you, you know, it's, you know, Walsall are up there. They've got a small budget. And the guy, Dean Smith, who's left to go to Brentford now, done a terrific job there. Terrific job. But he's been given time and he's had patience by his chairman. And it just shows you, give people a bit of time and don't rush them. They can bring players through.
And of course, Bradford get off of goal difference if they manage to win the game in hand against Southend. What Phil Parkinson has done at Bradford in the last couple of years, it's really been revolutionary. The FA Cup runs, the League Cup runs, and also getting back into League One and now challenging to get back in the Championship. It's all got a bit more rosy for Bradford these last couple of years.
Oh yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a city that, you know, one of the biggest cities in Britain that people don't realise, and you know, it's when a football team's doing well, Phil's done a smashing job. And you know, I think over the Christmas period, I've just looked at the league table there, and if they can just consolidate two or three four games, get the points on the board, they can put a bit of a gap between themselves and six, because I think, you know, it's really looking at it, there's really, I think, down to Swindon or something like six, it was 15 to 16, there's 6 points off the promotion, so it's very, 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 very tight. And what they've done over the last 5-6 games and won games, you know, I look at Brighton and people, they've gone 20 games unbeaten and they're still not clear. Now that tells you that every team is going to go on a bad run, and you can win, not lose 6 games, yeah, but you can drop 12 points because you've drawn 6. So I think what Bradford have done really well, they've won games and they seem to tighten right up the back. Unfortunately, I've seen them 3 times this year: Sheffield United, Gillingham and Barnsley in the League Cup, and they haven't won a game yet. So I'm due to go Boxing Day. I'm going to change that look.
Hopefully so. I mean, it has been really revolutionary, especially this season. Some fantastic players in there as well. But we've seen that they've managed to keep it really tight at the back. And I know that you were really known for your organisation as a manager. And is that something you've taken over in sort of every managerial job you've done?
Well, I try to, but sometimes, you know, again, sometimes we're aware. I mean, I didn't do anything different player manager Bradford and Wigan than I did at Derby, Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday. I really didn't. And yet it worked for me at Wigan and Bradford and didn't in the other three clubs. So I think you normally show me a good coach, you've normally got good players. So I think the coach, in my view, takes too much credit when it goes well and too much stick when it doesn't, because, you know, you give the players the information, you give them the detail. The players at Bradford and Wigan followed it out almost to the letter, the players at Ipswich. I'm not blaming the players, but what I'm saying is I didn't do any difference, really. I think recruitment is the key. Recruitment is the key. You get good players in the right positions, and good, not just good players, good men and good people like I had at Bradford and Wigan. And the job is a pleasure. It's when you don't get the right type of people, right type of characters, the job becomes difficult.
And of course, now in Bradford, every man's dog's got a season ticket with the prices that they are, and the stadium's very, very full. Is that something that you think will help the players and has, sort of can help them over the coming weeks, especially over the Christmas period?
I think there's no doubt about that. I mean, when you see I think it's a great idea. And I think when you talk about 17,000, 18,000 for a team in Division 1, it's great. The only thing you have to be careful of is that it does lift the opposition as well. You know, you can lift the opposition, and if, you know, I've been to a couple of games, if things don't quite go right early on, if the fans can get a little bit tetchy, and the opposition can pick up on that, and it can be, you know, it's great, but you've still got to be able to deal, the lads who are playing for Bradford, got to be able to deal with 17,000, 18,000 people who are demanding and expect them to be somewhere close. You know, you'd much rather have it that way than a crowd of 2,000, 3,000, but, you know, you've still got to be able to deal with it and have the confidence and the ability and the bottle and the belief in yourself that you can do it. And I'm sure the lads there, Phil's got them going. They're hard to beat. And he seems to have a nice tight-knit group there and they're all together. So hopefully they can kick on from the end of this year and finish the season on a high.
Hopefully so, Paul. Hopefully so. And final question from me. What are you wanting to do in the future, Paul? Are you looking to get back into any sort of management or anything like that?
I'd never say never. I did go to West Brom for a week and things, you know, didn't quite work out there for 1 week. Can't say too much about that because that's still ongoing. But if the right job and the right thing, if the right project come along, yeah, I'd be open to it. I wouldn't necessarily have to be a manager job. You know, I think I've got a bit to offer coaching or helping a younger manager. But at the moment, I'm still trying to get my handicap down from 7. So in the winter, it's a bit of a struggle. So if anyone wants any help till the summer months come, I'm your man.
Definitely over the winter periods then, put that out there. Well, thanks a lot for joining us here, Paul.
Okay, cheers.